Well, welcome to the K&A Repos on the League Show. And we're back after a couple of weeks away. And I'm really glad to say that I've got some really good friends on the show tonight. And it's really lovely to have everybody on. And of course, up in the top left-hand corner, of course, the model herself, of course, the number one physio in the game. Of course, Ali is sort of joining us. And then, of course, to my right, of course, is Dave, Dave from Biggles Wade, of course, and joint manager with Mark, who's on my screen, right at the bottom of my screen. And then to the left, the man with the purse strings to his left, of course, from Biggles Wade as well, in Jeremy, the chairman. And, of course, then as well, to my right, is Lee, the secretary from Biggles Wade as well. And it's really lovely to have you guys all on. And, of course, right in the middle, right underneath me, a man who's going to be really busy in the next few weeks. And of course, he's looking for revenge. So I read today on the Welsh. Of course, he's the living legend in my point. The man that is, well, one of the top men in non-league football and football in general for me, Mr. Mick Payne. Welcome back, Mick.
Thanks very much, Dave. Yeah, welcome to everybody as well. Great to be on with you guys. Really looking forward to having a good chat tonight. Yeah.
So, Mick, I don't know if you know Biggles Wade. Biggles Wade are absolutely flying at the minute and, you know, having a great, great time of it and all the rest of it. And an 8-0 win at the weekend. And am I right in saying...
He's only eight this week. I mean, crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. And then am I right in saying as well, guys, into the... Is it County Cup final as well?
Yeah.
Was I right? Into the County Cup final as well this week as well. So things going great guns for you and sitting in second and... And, you know, we can all sort of look down at Mr. Paul Owlsey and go, where are you, sir? Because he's disappearing without sight now, isn't he? So he's dropping down. But you guys are still sitting in there, you know, at least making it, making Burke Hampstead, you know, having to sort of win their games, shall we say, to do it. But I suppose, realistically now, is it playoffs for Biggles Wade?
Coming this week? Yeah, I think that's always been our aim. I don't think we ever felt we could get close to Burke Hampstead. I think they're two wins away from winning the league now. So, and credit to them, they fully deserve it. They've been the best side by a mile. I didn't like the way you tried to draw me into the Paul Howsey situation. I'm not saying a word about him. We get on all right with Paul, so I'm not
bad with him.
Yeah, I'm going to go and watch his game on Saturday. So, having watched the highlights of the first one, that might just be quite tasty, I think.
In all fairness, though, guys, I mean, looking at that game, and I don't know what Mark thinks as well down the bottom, and Mick, I don't know if you've seen the highlights of that game, but a few weeks ago, Ware played Walthamstow, and they play each other again this weekend in the league. And in probably, I heard a couple of people text me after they saw it on the Goal Show and turned around and said to me, you know, if you're a neutral, that's what non-league football is all about, the passion, the goals, the mistakes, et cetera, in that game. And it was one of those games when it finished, Mick, I don't know if you saw the score, but it finished 6-4.
I did see the score, actually.
To Walthamstow. But I think there was about four goals, I think, after 90 minutes, and you know, in the game. And it was one of the craziest games of football I think I've ever seen. I mean, Mark, have you ever been involved in anything like that?
Been involved in a few, to be fair. The very first year in 2016-2017, we sort of had the philosophy, we'll score more than you. And we had a couple of 6-4s, 5-4s, trying to think, 4-alls, all sorts. Yeah, so, yeah. But not that, that I watched the highlights of there. And the difference, I think, between that one was two sides who are vying for a playoff place. They're quite local rivals, so there's a bit of history as well. So, obviously, that the passion and... Yeah, I think it went. Am I right in saying Ware scored late on to go
4-3 up? Yeah,
3 up, like you're talking 89th, 90th minute.
Yeah.
I think the guy doing the highlights didn't have much of it. We just had to put the goals on. That was it.
It was one of those things. It was just incredible. And of course, I got to interview both of them because I do that with them every weekend. And of course, you interview them in the following weekend. It was just madness. Do you know what I mean? It was just, you know, and I mean, I interviewed them this weekend and they've said, if you want to put money on it, go for 0-0 this time round.
Give them both on together.
Yeah, both on together. Every week. Every week.
Were they doing hand signs at each other?
It was good fun. But they're saying, you know, if you want to put money on the game this weekend, make sure you put on it a 0-0. That's what they reckon.
That's how to draw the crowds in then.
Well, that's it, yeah. That'd be what it'll be. That'll be what it is. I mean, Mick, I mean, you've just one quick question for yourself as you go in there as well. Of course, big day for yourself and Paul in the last few days, announcing the squad, you know, the latest squad and everything else. And really pleased with the squad that you've got for the game. And, you know, and how far down, I think we've asked you this question before, but I'll ask you the question again. I mean, there is quite a lot of the players in there that are sort of like national, national league and, and that. But is there a situation sometimes when, you know, Paul looks at it and goes, well, hang on a minute, is a guy down there firing all cylinders, maybe down in the, you know, I don't know, Southern, Isthmian, Northern, Premier Divisions?
Dave, as I said, go back to what the lads just said, you know, and you mentioned it earlier in terms of non-league football, you know, it goes down. It goes down to some really good players all the way down the pyramid. And I say this many, many times to people, especially when we go abroad and places, they don't realise how good a pyramid we've got in this country. It's fantastic, you know. So, you know, I just want to endorse what you just said about non-league football. Yes, it's non-league football all the way down. And, you know, to your point, what you just made to me there, yeah, we do look, of course we do. We look at players that are playing below the National League. We do look at that. And I go around a number of games, and I know I haven't seen him for a while, but I'm always at games and always looking at, to see if a gem sort of pops up. So, look. Yeah, it's an opportunity for these players who are playing anywhere in non-league football to be selected.
I know you're just a little bit gutted, though, you and Paul, that Mr. Mullin isn't young enough to and the right nationality to actually get playing for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, again, it's again, if people don't perhaps realise or don't follow, you know, what the England Seas setup's been about. I mean, of late, you know, it's been a difficult scenario, as we all know, over the last 2-3 years, and various games have been cancelled, and we've not really been able to get a foothold, if you like, in terms of getting the England Seas back on. Last time out, we did play a sort of overage group. There was just a reason behind that. This time, we've gone back to type, as I said, with out of a squad of 25 that was selected, there's 12 of those who are under 23 years of age. So that's always going to be our take, if you like. We want to make sure that these guys who are younger guys who have a chance to go back into the professional game. So that's why we always like to have it at under 23s. Yeah, you mentioned about Mullins. I mean, of course, we'd like to have selected him, but we have gone with the other boy, Langstaff, who's at Notts County. He's the older statesman in our group this time. We had to pick him. I mean, he scored goals, you know, for fun. So hopefully they will, the club will see it's an opportunity for having an England international in their ranks as well. And hopefully they will allow him to play, because we all know, you know, this stage of the season, Dave, and the guys know this, you know, it comes down to a lot of things going on, promotions, relegations, lots of areas that need to be sort of managed. So with this time round, you know, if you have anyone follows it, the England Seas set out, it's been literally one player from, literally every sort of National League side. So it gives a good representation of those players who are going to, you know, represent their clubs and hopefully play for England.
I mean, guys, for Biggleswade, I mean, would you love to see one of your players in there at some place? And do you think you've got players, you know, in the squad at the minute that, you know, you could see playing for England, see in the future?
I noticed when the squad was named that the game's actually on the 21st of March, and we're actually playing in the Bed Senior Cup final on that night. So we're probably glad that they did miss out on this occasion.
Yeah. I mean, what's trying to happen, though, you know, on that, they always try to do it international week as well. So it is, you know, it's a full week of no games in the National League. So that's why it's always put in, lads, you know, that's why it's put in those sort of times when there's no games sort of penciled in.
Mm. Delighted you got a player from Southend, Gus Scott Morris. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, again, as I say, we do our homework. We've got a scouting system out there, and also we take, you know, recommendations from various people. Go to games, you know, people we sort of take on board who've got a good eye, if you like, and a way of sort of looking at players who they're scouting for. So look, yeah, it's. He's a good player, there's no doubt. I've seen him a number of times. Somebody like to see him involved. We've got another lad from Dagenham Redbridge involved, Harry Phipps, someone I've seen on a number of occasions. So there's some, you know, some real talent, you know, guys. From our last squad, I say many, many times, from our last team when we played, I don't want to go on about the result, because we did get turned over. They did a number on us, the Welsh. But out of that team last time, there's six of those boys that have gone back in the league. They've gone back into the Football League or the Scottish League. So this team works, you know, this England C side, I can't emphasise that enough, that it works. It works in terms of giving these players a platform to go on and on to bigger and better things. So that's what we always aim to do.
I like the way, because of the pyramid system that you mentioned earlier on, we're playing against lads, not week in, week out, but quite regularly, that probably are only playing our level because of the travelling. So if you was to play that National League level, that's a big commitment. And the majority of them are professionals, but sometimes people have to look at the fact, are they going to make it professional and earn sufficient money to have a good standard of living, or are they going to have themselves, shall I say, a real job in the real world? And then that cuts down their opportunities in football.
Yeah, it's a super point. You know, dead right. I mean, I can mention a guy we had at Dagenham Redbridge back in the day, and he was captain. And we part-time, like you just mentioned, he was part-time football, earning a decent wage, also had a job as well. And then when they went full-time, they come in and offered him, you know, a certain sort of a wage structure. He said, I can't do it. He said, I can't. I've got two kids. I've got a mortgage. I can't, you know, what you're offering to put it up, my money. Just no way that I can be, you know, full-time. So your point is very, very valid and very understandable. You know, there's a lot of good players, as you say, still want to play the game, still want to play at a good level, a good standard. But unfortunately, family life and other responsibilities come into play. So they can't always balance it. I get that.
And even at our level, I think the pro sides are still looking for that odd gem and still come in. So we played against people who've gone on to earn themselves professional contracts. There's a lad, Sam Dreyer, a young lad at Bedford Town.
Yeah.
Who earned himself with Peterborough United. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, you said it, you've seen it, you see these boys, you know, turn out, you think, where they... I mean, also, guys, what tends to happen is, we all know, sometimes they fall out of love with the game, or they've been with a professional setup and, you know, things have not worked out for them and they've had to go again. I mean, you know, I look back at there was a couple of boys. I mean, if you look at there was Corey Whiteley, who's now playing at I believe at Bromley, but he sort of dropped all the way down. Dwight Gale was a prime example. Dwight Gale playing for Stansted, wasn't he? Dwight Gale. And he, you know, had been at pro clubs. Then he just had to get games under his belt. And these boys have got to find a way to go again if they've got that desire, got that enthusiasm, but most of all, want to do it. Because, you know, we all know playing non-league football at times is a challenge in terms of, we go back to what you mentioned about having to train Tuesday, Thursday, play Saturday, have a job as well. Hey, it's a demanding time. So I do get it. I do understand it. But there is definitely some quality out there. In every week, there's definitely players out there.
Was that you just said about Dwight Gale, and I think one of the funniest stories that I ever heard about Dwight Gale was the fact, I'm not sure where it was in the sort of context of his career, if it was before Stansted, after Stansted, or wherever, somewhere around that sort of area, but he walked into Arlo for a trial and they told him he weren't good enough.
Well, I think that happens a few times, Dave, doesn't it? I think that's it. It's an opinion, isn't it?
Yeah, and he got two at the weekend for Stoke at the Stadium of Light at the weekend as well, in a shock result.
I think one of the prime examples, and it's a long, long time ago, but it's a prime example of someone in non-league playing for White Enzyme, was Paul Benson. Paul Benson was playing for White Enzyme and scoring goals for fun. Gets a trial at Southend. They said, no, you're not what we're looking for. Dagenham took him on board, and as I say, the rest is history. Finished up playing at Charlton, had a really good career at Charlton, Swindon, Luton, and I said he was playing for White Enzyme in the sort of Essex Senior League. So it just shows you there is boys out there who can, you know, step up to the mark. Mm.
But I mean, guys, I mean, with your sort of like fixtures and that, they've sort of come thick and fast and all the rest of it. And now all of a sudden, it seems to a bit of a handbrake's gone on it. I mean, you no more games now for 11 days. We don't play again now till Wednesday week. Was that because of the free weekend, or was that because Yusuf, you playing Harlow that weekend?
No, it was because of the free weekend. So we were supposed to play Harlow in the beginning of January. Right. So when we got knocked out of the cup competitions earlier in the season, we pulled forward one or two of our fixtures. Mm. So we had, on the 25th, we were supposed to play Hadley away, but we played them in October. And then in mid-January, we pulled the Tame game forward as well. So we've sort of got ahead this year rather than be chasing, which is what we've done in previous seasons. So it's actually, although we've had a bit of a break, it's actually worked out quite well for us at this stage.
As a club, do you really want time off though when you've got the role going, or do you really? I mean, physios love breaks. Let's be honest about it.
What sort of break are you on about?
Well, you got like a little, you got a little bit of a fixture break. They were saying. So is that good for you as managers, or are you pleased to have a bit of a break, or?
Yeah, I thought you meant being a physio, you just like people with breaks. But
it's something to do. It's something to do, Dave. I'm sitting there getting cold every evening.
We struggle a little bit because, obviously, as everybody knows, we don't have our own ground. So we've got a session tonight, which is 1 hour. Mm. We have a session on Wednesday, which is 1 hour. We can't find anywhere to do anything on Saturday. We tried the local schools, because we've trained through sort of December, January, and on the Saturdays when they was called off, or when we didn't have a game, we played inside football. But we can't get any area at all this week. So, we have... And our session tonight, believe it or not, is 9 till 10. Mm. So, yeah, it's kind of matched. So we've always scratching around trying to find somewhere. And you're right, look, we'd rather not... Having one game off or something like that, the only game is OK, and we had that the other week. But you are right, and I mentioned this on Saturday, that a couple of weeks ago, I think we played five games more than most sides in the top half of the table. And weirdly enough, at that time, of course, we were second. We've stayed second. They've caught the games up. Now, is that because they're having to play Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday? It could have been. I mean, you would know better than anybody the fatigue that players will go through. So, maybe because of, you know, Lee's cleverness to bring games forward, it just created that gap. I think we ended up with two Saturdays in January without a game. One because we brought a game forward. And so where other sides were getting their games called off, we didn't have a fixture. So we had the training plan and carried on training. So it kind of worked for us in that. But I agree with you. And at this present stage now with where we are, we could do with training today, Wednesday, Saturday. And we could, and let's be honest, we could do a training minimum 90 minutes tonight and Wednesday, but we can't. We scratch around, unfortunately, and Saturday we've come unstuck. So, but the only thing I would say to you with our side, I'm sure they're all the same, most sides, but the one thing they don't seem to lack is fitness, because it seems to be almost a competition or a pressure or a desire that they're in the gym. And look, if you turn up and you haven't done your gym work, the two Marsh boys are on you like a ton of bricks. So quite a lot of posting, but they all do. They all keep themselves in good condition. So we're lucky in that respect.
I mean, the actual County Cup game, I mean, whereabouts does that fit into those run of fixtures? Is that after the Waltham Stadium? Did you say 20-something of March?
21st, yeah.
So that comes in between after the Waltham Stadium game?
Yeah, so we've got Waltham Stadium away, and then we've got Didcot home, and the cup final squeezed in between that. So it's in terms of the timing, it's probably not ideal for us. But as I say, we'd much rather be in a cup final than not. So I'm sure we'll all take that.
Who is it you got in the final?
Either Bedford or Luton Town.
Right, okay.
Playing tomorrow.
So. Play tomorrow.
Right, okay. And so they haven't given you a venue?
It's going to be at Kenilworth Road, we believe. So
that'd be perfect, wouldn't it? Great for those lads, isn't it? Playing at a big stadium.
Would that change, though, if Luton get there?
I don't think so. Luton have got to the final before and played at home, because it's generally their development team or they're under 18, so right. Rather than their first team.
If Luton do get there, we might ask for a fixture change and see if Wembley's available.
Well, we are. The coach is getting a bit full, so we might have to take a few, won't we?
I mean, that must be a big achievement as well, though. Getting to the final. I mean, is that something that's a big achievement for Biggers Wade? I mean, have you been there before or?
No, never. We've never reached it. We have gone out in the semi-finals twice. Look, it's the one tournament trophy at the start of the season we have a chance in, because obviously we're never going to win the FA Cup, we're not going to win the FA Trophy. we hope to have a few games now. And this gives us an opportunity to at least reach a final. Bedford Town are obviously a league above us, and Luton Town, we know where they are. So we've had a tough old draw. We had to come through Biggleswade Town. We then played Dunstable Town, and then Kempston Rovers. AFC Dunstable. So we played three sides from our level. Biggleswade, because of the nature of the game, is probably the biggest pressure. So we have had when they say you've got to play the tough ones, we've played three real hard games to get to this stage, and then we're going to play one of the two highest graded teams in the final. But it's great to get there, because it means we have something to look forward to. We're obviously hoping to stay in the playoff situation, but it gives all the lads and an opportunity to ever that day, and most importantly, I think even more than the boys, for the club. We do so much in and sort of portray ourselves as a family club, and as Jeremy, I think Jeremy or Lee just said, I think we feel the coach, and I think we're probably going to end up with people, and Lee might have to look for a second one, so we're quite pleased.
I think that, just to echo that, I think sort of three things, isn't there, on the pitch, obviously good for the lads, but for the for the club as a whole, the committee and the supporters, it's like a really big occasion, So I think that's played up as much as anything. And it's local, isn't it? It's to Bedfordshire. So it's a big thing. So it'll be a really, people have really bought into that, very quickly and very well.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, working in two, three different clubs, it's always for me the biggest, annoyance to me is when there's a county cup or the league cup, depending on if there is one, for me they're the two sort of competitions that you can win at the step levels that we are at four and three, it's all about the money in the FA Cup, it's all about the money, well maybe not so much about the money in the FA Trophy, but getting there. But it always used to annoy me when managers, the clubs that I used to work for, go out and they put the kids out in the game. And you think, why are you throwing away an opportunity to get to like a county cup final, something that would give you a bit of prestige, a bit of thing. So it's quite nice to see sort of clubs at our sort of level at steps three and four get into the finals, and putting on a good performance and maybe even coming away with a bit of silverware, because the likes of, especially in the Essex one, especially people like Colchester and Southend, they don't take it that seriously. Do you know what I mean? They're in it because they've got to be in it type thing. Do you know what I mean? So it's always nice to sort of get to those sort of fights. But if you win it, as Jeremy promised you, a trip somewhere, like Las Vegas or somewhere like that, is it?
Yeah, I don't know, like the way this is going, actually, on a couple of occasions, but they're all laughing. Not quite, no, but just to pick up your point, the reason Southend takes it, it's one of the ones that Southend could win at the moment, so we shouldn't put that down.
Are we a Southend fan by any chance?
I don't know how you guessed that. I've had my half and half scarf ready for a few years now for when we play each other, anyway. But just in terms of this, I think what's really important is that what I call the public face of the club. I think I've alluded to this before, and we're out of the town, which is always a risk for a new club. But we've got an amazing support. I mean, the people that come there to support us, and the fact that we're doing that. And so I think this kind of occasion is immensely important for our public profile, and because it won't just be our regular supporters. We're seeing now other people coming with existing supporters. We're moving into that territory now where we don't recognise the people with our colours on, which is always a good sign. but they just come along by friends and family, and other people have wanted to come on the coach. So it's a very significant thing for us being where we are as we continue to build the club and to build our profile.
And does that also, with that sort of scenario, does that also, if Mark and Dave and the boys do the job, and get promoted, perfect end of the season, you get promoted to step three, you win the county cup. Does that also as well help you with, say, I don't know, putting a bit more pressure maybe onto your local council or whatever else to get you somewhere so that you can move back into your own town as well? Does that give you a little bit more prestige, if you know what I mean, that they all of a sudden they're all over you because they want to get you back into town and maybe a little bit more than, and I don't know, maybe more than they do at the present minute in time?
Well, I mean, I'll hand over to Mark. Mark can comment on that. I think short answer is it all helps, doesn't it? I mean, what we're doing, I mean, we have this ethos about, the thing is, we're outside of Biggleswade, but we're relentlessly focused on the community. Because we're outside, we have to really work hard to focus on the community of Biggleswade. But having to work hard to do that is a very good thing, because it prevents, everybody should be doing that about their local community. It's just that we have an added imperative to do that because we're outside. And certainly in the conversations that Mark and I have had and the ongoing things, you know, lots of the stuff that's going on beneath the surface, the more we can talk about our community based, our vision and our values, and the more we can say what we want to do, it certainly all grist to the mill, and it certainly helped, hasn't it, Skip, when we've been having those conversations?
Yeah, on that, Dave, we're in a position where the first team is, I don't think will affect getting a ground, because we are more community-based. Biggleswade has been highlighted by the FA as an area that is desperately short of facilities. Biggleswade's about to have 1,500 houses agreed for planning, with another 5,000 in the next 10 years. Me and Dave are travelling to Ampthill tonight at 9 o'clock, which is, 30 minutes down the road. We trained at Cranfield. We trained in Letchworth. We've trained Stopfold, St Neots, Bedford, because there's no facilities in Biggleswade. So it's crazy when you actually look at the size of Biggleswade and then, say, pick Stopfold, which is half the size and got far better facilities, Flitwick, a third of the size, an unbelievable leisure centre. We've had some really, really positive meetings with the local Biggleswade councillors and, in fairness to Central Bedfordshire, they're fully aware, based with what the Beds FA have highlighted, that there is a shortage of sports facilities in Biggleswade. With the infrastructure and how many houses are due to get planning permission, we feel confident that they've got to address the situation. So as a football club, the fact that we're potentially doing well in step four and have a fighting chance to go up, because at the end of the day, there's still a lot of football to go, we're more interested in the longevity. We're more interested in having a facility so we can put, if you've got 1,500 houses, how many of those boys and girls are going to play football? Well, there's nowhere to play. So we're looking for youth size, set up, the community-based, community backing, somewhere for boys and girls of all ages to go. We're even looking at the other side of it with, when people get to the wrong side of 60 and become widowed, etc., there's a mental health issue where walking football has become a massive area. So there's a lot going on in the background, and it's so hard at the moment because ultimately we're having meeting after meeting, but I feel we're getting there.
And it's a weird scenario because, I mean, I don't know if Ali knows and if Mick knows, because it's, am I right in saying there's three sort of main teams in Biggleswade as well? And there's yourselves, there's Biggleswade Town, and there's also Biggleswade United. And Biggleswade United have got a very, am I right in saying, they've got a very famous chairman as well?
I like the way you said
as well. That's really nice.
I mean, the free club, we get asked this a lot, and the simple fact is Biggleswade FC was set up with youth as its main ethos. So, I mean, Dave, a lot of the players who started had been released, similar to what Michael said earlier on, been released by Stevenage, Peterborough, Ipswich, and they were at low ends. Dave gave them an opportunity to play under-18s football. From that, we've progressed. But we're looking, at the time, Biggleswade Town was step three, so if they were looking to have a side good enough to compete at that level, they had to go further afield. Because if you haven't got local players good enough to keep you up, so he had a different thought process. Biggleswade United has always been a fairly local club. but we had a youth basis, and that first year in 2016, I don't know what the average age would have been, but I bet it wasn't much above 20. And that was because we had Tom Cookman playing, who was late 20s, but they were all teenagers. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to keep that. So this year, as an example, we've got two young lads, Adam Wedd and Mackay. Both got released. Both had two-year scholarships with Luton and Lincoln, respectively. I mean, they're both looking for an opportunity to get back into the pro ranks. So we're giving them an opportunity when, say, other sides wouldn't. So the reason there's three sides is we've all got different thought processes of where we all want to be. Everybody thinks we had one side in Biggleswade and we all merged together, we'd get good support, etc. But I don't think it would ever work because ultimately we've all got a different idea how the game should be played, etc.
But it is strange though, Mark, isn't it? You've got three sides in Biggleswade and yet, as you said, the facilities are that bad. You know, you'd think that would sort of almost say to you, well, that's just nonsense, you know, in probably the politest way of putting it. Do you know what I mean? When you've got three sides, what is it? I think step five, step four, and two at step four at the moment, isn't it? So it just, there's no common sense behind it. There isn't facilities there for, you know, for all three clubs, or at least for two of the three clubs or whatever else. So, that you know, as you said, like get the youth plan and then younger players that dropped out of the league plan and stuff like that in your local area.
It's very hard. And again, we've had meetings with the local councillors, but it's the developers, in my opinion, don't help because they're supposed to give something back to the community. So as an example, I won't name them because they're not here to defend them. But as part of Biggleswade East, they should have produced 11 football pitches, various sides from 6, 7-a-side, 9-a-side, 11-a-side. The areas are there, but they've never been topsoiled and they've never been finished. So they can never be used. But even if they topsoiled them now, there's no car parking and there's no changing rooms. So they haven't met their obligation. But unfortunately for them now, people like me and Jeremy are having meetings and we're highlighting this and we are trying our best. But Biggleswade, I mean, Dave's Biggleswade lad through and through, 60 whatever years old. And I don't think there's been any new pitches. Biggleswade Towns is fairly new. But that's moved. So, I mean, Dave will tell you the pitches that are available now, they're the same ones that were when Dave was in his prime.
Yeah, when I was born in 1960s and growing up, there was Biggleswade Town and Biggleswade United used to play on adjoining pitches. And we had one other ground or one other piece of land in Biggleswade, which was Stratton Way. Take us forward 62 years and we have Biggleswade Town, Morris ended up with his own piece of land. So there's the Biggleswade Town ground. Biggleswade United are on the same piece of land. The old Biggleswade Town pitch is now just for cricket. There is Stratton Way and there is an unfit for purpose place called the Lakes, which I don't believe anybody plays at all. And there is one piece of land near Stratton School where they fit on several. I think there's one 9-a-side size pitch and two sort of 6 and 7-side pitches. That's it in 62 years. Nothing.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And I mean, do you feel your fight to sort of get your own sort of ground in Biggleswade has been improving, or do you just feel you're sort of still basically where you were as such?
Personally, it's improving because ultimately we've had various meetings with some high-profile people at Central Bedfordshire and they're fully aware. You can't keep building houses. Biggleswade itself has grown from a census in 2008 of 16,000 people up to 24,000. So it's grown by half again. And as a town, we've got nothing to show for it. Mm. When large applications, developments get accepted, these builders have to forward what they call a 106 section, which is money that goes back into the community to build. It could be anything from schools, educations, to health centres, to sports and leisures. So it is put back into as in the form of 106 money, to create places for the town, as I said, for healthful sports. But Biggleswade at the moment, we don't seem to be getting a fair share of any of the facilities, which is very frustrating. But what I will say is the people me and Jeremy have been speaking to, they've been very good. They've been very helpful. And I personally feel that they will be pushing for it. So again, there's so many things that a town of Biggleswade needs. I don't think it's like I said, it's grown by 8,000 people, but we've still got the same doctor's surgeons. We haven't got any more. We've got no big health centre. So there's a lot of areas that need the money. So we have to be careful what we say and who we're speaking to. But yeah, I think they know there's a shortfall, and I personally believe they will be doing their utmost to fill the void.
And it's funny you say that. I mean, you know, the two towns close to me, one where I'm sitting here right now, of course, Waltham Abbey, where I am, and the same sort of thing there. They've just built a brand new sports centre on top of, you know, a grass land there that used to be the kids used to play football on. You go to just up the road, 20 minutes up the road to Harlow, you know, and literally there was, you know, complete sort of like green belt land all down by the side of where Harlow's stadium is now. That's now got all flats and God knows what over it. The hospital that's at Harlow, a bit like what you've just said there, facilities wise, he's literally got, you know, ambulances queuing up outside to take people in on 999 calls, where, you know, it's that busy they can't get any more people in there, and yet they're building more and more and more and more houses and not the facilities to actually be able to cope with the amount of people that they've actually got they got coming in. And it's just a shame, because you hear it all the time, and you know, with yourself and I think Cray as well, Cray Wanderers in Step 3 at in the Isthmian League as well, they've been struggling. I think they've even got a ground, but now all of a sudden they're struggling to even get anything built on that. And you know, and it's just been one thing after another for them as well. They've been nomads for years, haven't they, Ali?
Very much so. I mean, they've got their ground there, they've got to build something on there. I think we're quite blessed in South. I'm from South London. We're quite blessed for space and pitches in the South East London area. But alas, I think it's going to be an ongoing problem, sadly, isn't it? About a bit of redevelopment and restructuring as well.
Mm. Well, the biggest
scandal that came in amongst all the work that Skipper and Jeremy have been doing is that there was an application in for, I think, 11 pitches and a new medical centre in Biggleswade. I mean, Skip will tear, turned down for environmental reasons. It's now got how many houses on that piece of landscape?
Yeah, 50.
Yeah. So they turned it, you know, forgetting the football pitches, the medical centre that the town desperately needs, turned down on the, you know, environmental reasons. And what's happened? Mr. Taylor and Mr. Wimpy have put 250 houses on it instead.
I've always liked a Wimpy, but...
Yeah,
so do I. I'm putting into LBC, Dave. But James O'Brien.
That's a bloody big win.
Or something.
Yeah. Well, somebody just sent a question in. It's actually for Mick, actually. And it's a gentleman by the name of, he's somebody that, of course, we know quite well, a gentleman called Lee Flavin, if you know Lee Flavin. And he's just said, can you ask Mick, has he heard about the thing that he's put together called non-league chance, where he's got sort of players giving them the chance to get back into football?
Well, I have actually heard it. I mean, it was also the Jamie Vardy one as well, if you remember that one. That was also muted a couple of seasons ago. But you're dead right. You know, it's good to see people doing that, you know, in terms of what he's trying to bring players back. And we go back to what the lads just said and what I said earlier. There is plenty and plenty of players out there given a chance. I mean, the other thing we always tend to sort of forget sometimes, I mean, you have a look at these kids would have to get to places, how they get there. They don't get their parents getting them there or whatever. It's a demanding time now, you know, for them to get to these sort of games. And I think we've got to be very conscious of trying to really, like going back to what the guys just mentioned about facilities, making sure there is facilities in a sort of distance that people can get to. And I've been listening to all what's been said tonight, and I'm full of admiration, absolutely full of admiration of what you're doing, how you're doing it, and, you know, your sort of plans of where you want to take it. So I think young players are really vital to our development of this country, and the more we can do for it, the more facilities we can have for it, then it can only bode for a better future, really.
I think one of the interesting things, just picking up on that, is that there is a link between talking about the England C setup and us. Yeah. When you ask that question about three teams bigger, right, it's all about giving the opportunity. If it's not a question of you, it's like you know this idea about PI, you know, provide, identify, provide. If you put the opportunity on, you can unearth talent. So who's to say in a place there could be a world-class yachtsman or a world-class fencer? But unless you give the opportunity there, you don't know what talent is there. So I think the link with us in Biggleswade is that the reason when people say that thing about three teams, I think, well, you know, how many people do you need in a football team or a squad? And if you put a team, if you put the opportunity on and to play in the right way, in the right ethos, people will come out of the woodwork. They will be there. You know, it's not a question of saying that's a finite number. So I just see a link between what you're talking about there and identifying talent and us having where we came from.
Yeah, exactly that. And then you say identifying talent, but also, as you say, going back to giving everyone a real pathway, an opportunity, whatever you want to call it, to fulfil their potential, because that's what it's about. And, you know, in the right hands, in the right sort of environment, that's what it's all about, and making sure the environment is, you know, a comfortable environment, they're encouraged to, you know, improve. I have a massive thing about, you know, like making sure you enjoy something. But if you enjoy something, you will learn and improve. That's always been one of my philosophies today. Look, go and enjoy it and you will learn and improve. So, now, as I said, what you've been saying tonight, fellas, it's been very, very spot on. And I'm full of admiration of, you know, playing through non-league myself, coming through, you know, playing back in the day. I played with Chingford Town, which is non-existent anymore. You know, there's also Leighton, you know, Leighton FC, that's non-existent no more. You know, they've not even got, you've got Leighton Orient, the closest one to us, but there's nothing really. I mean, Clapton's sort of coming back on the fore a little bit, you know, in terms of trying to get the old Spotted Dog back and things like that. But, you know, these grounds that have, or these teams that have disappeared, it's actually quite sad, really. There's no doubt about that.
Can I take a public opportunity, Mick, to invite you along to one of our games?
Love to come. Love to see what you're doing and how you're doing it, and always there to support.
You'd be most welcome.
Well, I appreciate that. That's, you know, really kind of you. And as I said, I'm always, you know, trying to bang the drum. You know, always banging the drum for non-league football, because it is. It's a vital line of you know, success. You know, as I said, we can go right the way down. I'll go back to what we spoke about earlier. Our countries are in awe. They're in awe of this pyramid we've got. And if we can keep it going and keep producing, then I think we're doing it right.
Mm. And I think, Mick, as well, I mean, we started doing this goal show and Biggleswade have been fantastic. They're one of the clubs that really have been supporting it, you know, since we're doing it. We're going into a busy day off for me tomorrow, because it'll be about 16 hours worth of editing to get show six going, ready for Wednesday. But when you actually physically look at some of the goals that are scored on there and some of the highlights that I get sent and I have to sort of cut them down a little bit, and et cetera, et cetera, some of the quality of the games that you get to see, and I'm getting to see sort of players I've not heard of before, and you actually get to see them play. And then after week two, week three, you're starting to pick up on, oh, I know who that is now. Do you know what I mean? And some of the quality of football has been absolutely incredible. And you just sit there in awe and think to yourself, at steps three and steps four, maybe 10 years ago, it was a little bit like, you know, the local pub team. Now, all of a sudden, sort of steps three and four is, you know, it's just, the quality is incredible.
Dave, I'll just come into that. I mean, you know, what the boys have been saying tonight, I do believe young players have got no excuse. They've got no excuse not to be fit. You know, they know the system, you know, what they're putting into their bodies. If they want to, if they want to keep fit, they can go to the gym. There's all these opportunities to really go out there being what I call A1 to start, you know, and there's no excuses. So if they want to be the best they can, and that is why the standard's gone up. That's one reason. I've got to say, I'm amazed when I go to some of these grounds as well. I thank this task for some of these the groundsmen at these pitches. But, you know, I've got to say, a lot of the pitches have improved. There's no doubt about that. I think the standard of pitches have improved right the way down the leagues, in my opinion, what I've seen. And, you know, like Ali was just saying, you know, the backroom staff now, there's people that want to be physios. There's, you know, now you've got a chance to, you know, film your games as well. There's no hiding place for players if they've been filmed, to see what they've done or what they've not done in a game. So I think all the way down, I think there's so many things have filtered down to the lower leagues that's improved those performances that you just mentioned about. That's how I see it.
I'll be honest with you, Mick. I've seen some right stinker of grounds as well when those goals show.
No, I think you're right, Dave. There is stinker.
I know, I'm joking. Yeah.
There is stinkers, but there's a lot of improvement, in my opinion. There's a lot.
Absolutely, 100%.
David, name and shame, come on.
I'm not going to name and shame, no.
One of the big improvements, I think, is what the FA have done down the years, and they've got to have credit for it, which is these coaching badges, etc. Because when I played, pre-season training was running 15 miles without drinking water. Mm. And never saw a football for 6 or 7 weeks. And then when you did start playing, whereas now these coaches, some of the sessions, we've got a lad called James who actually works for the Beds FA. Some of his sessions are unbelievable and it's all ball related. So these lads are actually turning up knowing they're going to be kicking a football in training. Well, like I said, well, Dave will tell you our pre-seasons. I played for Langford. And you knew every Tuesday you had to run to the water mill on the A1, that water tower.
I heard you never did do much running, Skip. That's what Dave told me anyway.
As you say, fellas, that's progress, though, as you say. And go back to, you know, the points you've made. You've got people now in place who want to be part of what you do in your club. And, you know, there's people that, you know, are interested in that side of the game. You know, definitely the coaching side has improved. And If the players buy into that, that's the other thing. The players have got to buy into that. It's not just going to go and play a game. Yeah, we try to make sure we work on our technical side. We make sure we work on our tactical side. We make sure we work on our physical side. And then the other side, which is massive to all those 3 points I've just made, is the mental side of the game. And there's so many things in place now to improve players. And I think if you get all those things right, even at the lower level of football, lower level of clubs, you've got a chance of really, being successful.
Mm, absolutely. Lee, what's your life been like as secretary in the last couple of years? Has the job sort of exploded for you with the success that Mark and Dave are getting for the club?
It does seem to get busier and busier every season. There seems to be more and more hoops we need to jump through to comply as a football club. But having gone through the sort of 18 months, 2 years of the COVID, where it was just, honestly, it was just not fun at all. It was all about what was going on off the pitch rather than on the pitch. And as I say, the best thing about being involved at the football club is getting to watch the type of football that we play on a Saturday, which is apart from 40 minutes on Saturday, which was great to watch. The other The rest of the game when the first goal went in was, we scored some cracking goals and we play some great stuff. And it's those sort of things on a Saturday afternoon that make it all worthwhile when you put in all those hours in the week.
Mm. I mean, you say about cracking goals, it's quite funny. There's been a few weeks when you start going through these goals as people send them in and I'm ticking them all off on a grid that I've got to the left of me here each week when they come in. And I start getting through some of them. I'm thinking, I'm going to struggle here for goals of the week, you know, for the four picks, and we're going to really struggle. And you'll get to one game, and before you know what's going on, I've got about 6 or 7 after about 3 or 4 more games, and you've got to try and then whittle it down to 4. So as you said, you were getting
grief for not featuring goals that a club hadn't sent in, weren't you?
I know, I was. During the week, Mick. So if you don't know, that basically what happens is the league can't make it compulsory. I don't know. I'd like them to, but they can't make it compulsory, and basically they sent them in, and then, of course, I put a little clip out of the four goals, and put them out. And I got a Tiverton fan and I think a Bishop's Cleeve fan came and gave me a bit of grief over the last week because their goals weren't involved in the pick of the week. Well, I think one of them, the Tiverton one, wouldn't register until this week. And Bishop's going, I said to him, look, I'm not a mind reader. I can't put goal of the week on there. If your club doesn't send them in, then you could be the best goal in the world and it ain't going to feature because you've got to send them in. Do you know what I mean?
You put yourself up there, Dave. You have.
That's it, yeah. So it's just about, they've got to send them in because otherwise I can't put them on the actual thing. But I think the club that they were playing is actually put, I think it was they were playing Northleigh, I think it was Northleigh, and Northleigh have actually sent, I haven't seen it yet, other than the clip that they put on there, but I haven't actually seen the rest of the goals yet, because I say I haven't even started editing it yet, so I've got about, I don't know, about 25 games so far, so midweek and that, so and hopefully a load more will come in tomorrow. But I'm thinking that sort of side of it as well, that's the thing, I suppose, with that goal show that I'm finding difficult is that, you know, these clubs just not sending the goals in. You know, you'll see it on YouTube or whatever else, and then I'll get, oh, well, you can take it off of YouTube. Well, yeah, but I haven't got time to go onto YouTube and then try and record it on my phone, that sort of stuff, to get them off, to actually get them onto the thing for me. If you want your goals to appear, you need to send them in to me.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And that's the difficult of it. But I've seen that your 8 goals have been sent in, Lee.
Yeah, it did take a while to clip them all, but it was certainly a joy doing that, to be honest. And I just want to give our cameraman a shout out, Chris Thomas, because he does an absolutely brilliant job. I mean, I do watch the goal show, and I'll be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of the VO system, because it feels like I need a pair of binoculars to see the goals go in. But he does an absolutely brilliant job in all weathers for us. So yeah, I'm glad that he's allowing us to showcase the goals that we're scoring. So it's
are you frustrated as well with that as me? I'm not saying it's a great system. It's an absolutely superb system, VO, one of the best. But the only thing I'm still surprised about is the fact that they're still, even I think they've just brought out VO2, haven't they, now, that there's no zoom on it. So as you said, it is a bit like watching Sabutio.
It's more a match analysis tool, isn't it? Rather than it actually, and I think people use it for both. But as I say, from a footage and showing goals perspective, it doesn't do anything for me. But obviously, it's still giving clubs an opportunity to showcase what they're doing. So you still need someone to operate the camera at the end of the day, don't you? And if you haven't got that, then that's the most.
Do you not think though that they're missing a trick, guys? I mean, with that, because that, the amount of VO coverage you now see on social media, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, etc., and the amount of that sort of stuff that you actually physically see, that you would have thought that somebody would have gone, well, hang on a minute, we need to sort of do an upgrade and sort of get that sort of bit into it to make it a little bit better. You thought it would have been a no brainer.
We have 4 cameras at Don, so I can't really comment, can I? And a drone.
Go off.
Unbelievable. And they only play Sunday. Do you know what I mean?
And free photographers as well, but I don't want to go into that.
So, I mean, so back to a bit, I suppose, with Biggles just before we finish. I mean, you're sitting there in second. I mean, is it a case now that that's the position that you guys want to nail down now? So you're guaranteed the home semi-final, and of course also the home final as well. Is that the one you're aiming for? And for me, I've always said to people, maybe not, and don't take this the wrong way, maybe not so much in your scenario, but a lot of the time for me, the worst position I feel to finish in the playoffs is second. And the reasoning behind that is because if you look at some of these leagues where I go into the same level as us in the South League in Step 4 in the Southern League, when you've got AFC Tottenham and Scholding fighting it out there at the top, they're within a few points of each other. One of them's not going to get automatic promotion, is going to slip into second. Their heads are down because they didn't get automatic promotion, and they're playing that fifth place team that's normally coming like a storm and coming through at the very, very end. So would you agree with me that second is the banana skin position, or are you just happy just to be in there?
I think we're probably a bit different to most, because we never expected to be there in the first place. And I think, speaking for all of us, we'd take second, third, fourth or fifth at the moment just to actually be in it. But you are right. Because of the way we think, if we were lucky enough to hold on a second, it gives several things. You are right, it gives us a home game. I wouldn't even think about a game beyond it. But you know what? We have caterers that turn up for us every week. They'll get a big payday. The football club, Bedford Town, will get a big payday. So I look at things like that from my point of view. You know, the two guys that come and do our food and coffee every week, you know, they do it this week when we played Romania. You know, we had under 100 people there. So their takings, you know, when they give up their Saturdays for us, you want them to have a big day as well. So it's kind of one of those. But yeah, we would love to finish second, just because we get guaranteed the one home game. You know, the rest will be down to us. But, and you are right, teams are going to be coming like a train. But I kind of don't feel too much pressure on that. I just think the pressure for me is that we hang on to the a playoff place. And I think from all of our points of view, that's an achievement itself. You know, we'll give ourselves a pat on the back, I think, just for achieving that. We never expected it. So to be there would be brilliant. And as I say, the home game will be a bonus.
So with that as well, though, guys, I mean, how difficult is it as well to keep the players' heads on the league when they know they've got a massive final as well? How is it just been quite easy so far, or is it the closer you get, the more difficult that might get?
The cup final really has happened very quickly because we only played the first game 6-7 weeks ago in January, second week of January. So the games have come thick and fast. The cup, we only played the semi-final last week and suddenly get told the final's in 2 weeks' time. So I don't think they'd really give it much thought, if I'm honest with you, Dave. It's the league games have been a bit sporadic this year because we pulled games forward, so we've missed about 3 or 4 Saturdays. So, but we've got a good bunch of lads, really. I mean, they're under no pressure. There's no stress at the club. We haven't got a chairman that's making us, we need promotion. There are sides at step four that have played higher and they are under pressure to get promotion. We're a little bit different, really. We enjoy each other's company. What will be, will be. If we come second, great. Come third, great. It's not a problem. But playoffs would be the ultimate if we could play in it, whether we finish fifth or second, and then see what happens. But again, we're under no pressure to go and win that playoff, which I know when you watch some teams, the size of the crowds that they get and the history that they've got, they need promotion to start to match their so-called off-field ambitions.
So he did very, very well, though, earlier on, Dave, Lee and Mark. Jeremy, by avoiding the question, really. But so if you win this County Cup, is it a trip to Las Vegas or is it going to be a trip to South Bend to watch him in the playoffs?
Well, you're just giving it away. I was keeping it up my sleeve there. Davey, you stolen my thunder there. So I was going to day out of the seaside and down the pier I was going to take. Yeah.
Clever chairman, Dave. Oh, the reward is you could all come to South Bend knowing that 99% of us are going to turn it down.
See, you see what I mean? It has its own problems, you know, doing this. But yeah.
Could end up with a nice trip to Wrexham, be on the TV. South End.
Well, yeah. Actually, talk about the second place. You know, who's going to be disappointed? That's no more true than in the National League this year.
Yeah.
All I would say about that is the top two seem so far clear that whoever doesn't get automatic, they're going to be a very tough nut in the playoffs, aren't they, for anybody else.
And I suppose finishing just on that, it's not out of league and what we were talking about, but how is that not three up from that division, Mick? I mean, that is just, you know, I think it's just absolutely ridiculous that there's not, you know, three up, three down and whatever else, you know, that league now. I mean, you've seen it through the years that whoever gets up, very rarely do they struggle the following season. They're always sort of mid-table or above, the following year. And when you've got two teams in there at the minute, you know, like Wrexham and, you know, and Notts County that are, what, over 20 points clear of third place Woking. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
David said you can't dress it up anymore, really, can you? I mean, you just used the word ridiculous. I think everyone is so much in agreement with that. You know, those two sides, you know, big clubs, no doubt about that. Huge clubs. I saw the crowd the other day at Wrexham. I think they had 10,900, I think, for their game. Crazy, you know. But again, you know, they're being bankrolled, no doubt about that. They've got players who really are championship players. But now, go back to your point. I mean, it should be up, three up, without a shadow of a doubt. And to me, it should be, you know, basically automatic. It should be, you know, the top three go up and the bottom three come down. End of, you know, why, you know, I know we like the playoffs, I get that, but you know, if they want to just have two and then just perhaps have one for the playoffs, I get that as well. But it's a crazy situation, and I think it's on the table to be addressed. I think that's something that's being muted very as we speak, I think.
And I suppose finishing on that, I suppose, what odds are you going to give me that both those teams get promoted this year? I don't think it'll be both. I think it'll be one or the other. Do you agree?
Well, I don't, Dave. You know, I don't often disagree with you, mate. I think both sides will go. I think they're both good enough. I know you mentioned about the momentum, you know, going into playoffs and things like that. But I think there's enough quality in both those outfits to, and you know, I think Dave also sort of mentioned it. You know, the Notts Counties and the Wrexham players have got some quality. And whoever they play in the playoffs, I think they will, I wouldn't say turn them over, but I think they get a result. And I hope those two sides go up. I do hope they go up because they deserve to go up. They're big clubs and they've got great clientele, great sort of support. So hopefully they will go up back in the Football League.
Well, I'm a little bit biased, and I must admit, I don't know why, but I would really, really like to see Wrexham get up. I'll be honest with you, because I think it'll be great for the story and whatever else as they go up. But
Other one we want to see is Southend go. Of course, we do. We want to see them go
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
He's doing a good job there, Kevin Mayer and Darren Curry and Mark Bentley. They're fantastic guys.
Particularly all the things going on off the pitch.
Exactly. Yeah, but let's hope they. You know, get back to where they want to be as well. So be fantastic to see that football club back in the Football League as well.
Thank you.
That was one of my greatest matches I've ever been to. That was when Arlo beat Southend at Rootsall in the what's the name? That was I thoroughly enjoyed that night. It was brilliant.
we were getting on so well as well.
But it was one of those nights we walked into the ground and a couple of the fans that were there, and I had a shirt at the time, and they. I don't know if you guys remember, they used to have a striker called Alex Reed, and I used to do the Tannoy. And one game during that time, he scored a goal. We ran over to the side, and it was just a poster that said The Machine on it. So straight away, I sort of picked up on this, and every single time he scored a goal from there on in, he used to sing, you know, shout out like the score of Arlo Towns, whatever goal, number 9, Alex Pauls, The Machine Reed. And then he used to get the crowd sort of say it as we went on as well. And when we got there, I had The Machine number 9 on the back of my shirt as I walked into the ground. And a couple of the, at the time, I think they were struggling for a striker, Southend. And they were saying to me on the way in, which one's Alex Reed? Which one's Alex Reed? And I said, oh, you'll see him in a minute, the number 9. And I think within about 5 minutes, he scored. And I just turned around to these two guys and went, by the way, that was Alex Reed. Like, do you know what I mean? And we were scared stiff going into there that night that we were going to lose him to Southend. And, you know, like a week or 2 weeks later, he was going to be playing at, you know, for Southend. And I think in the end, we actually took one of the youngsters at Southend, the centre-half, who was such a lovely, I can't think of his name is now, but a really, really lovely guy. And he came and played for us. He played about 2 or 3 times. And then they called him back and he was on the bench against Hartlepool. And they let us borrow him for the playoffs. And we lost him. That was the year that we got 106 points, 100 goals and still didn't get promoted. And we lost in the semi-final, and he was actually standing in the, he played in the semi-final, and he was standing in the tunnel as they went back out. And this was how quality the lad, the guy was. He turned around and he went, I'm really sorry I've let you down. You know, and it was like an 18, 19-year-old. His name was Daniel Matasuka, I think his name was. He went on to play for Japan under-21s and stuff like that as well. But he was a great little player. And I just thought he was a class act from a young lad. So, yeah. But listen, guys, time's come up. I know you've got to get off to training. So I really appreciate everybody coming on tonight. And we wish you all the very, very best, of course, in Wednesday week when you've got Hadley at home. And, of course, also as well in that County Cup game, whoever it may be against. And hopefully you come away with that nice big bit of silverware. And hopefully you get what you deserve and get that promotion into step 3 next year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, David. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Nice to meet you, Ali. Thank you.